things were concerned, he could have granted Benjamin everything. But this was the wish that Joseph spake out over his younger brother: God be gracious unto you. Oh, to have God as your God, to have Jesus as your Savior, to have the Holy Spirit as your Comforter. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, to wish upon anyone. I would wish this upon my whole Bible class. God be gracious unto yous. Give you for the blessings of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Come down into your hearts and put his love in them, and give you to know him as the God of your salvation. This was Joseph's brother. Having not seen him for such a long period of time, his bowels yearned over his brother. His flesh got the best of him. He sought for a place to weep. You can understand something like this. If you haven't seen some immediate member of your family for many a year, and they come to visit you, how affected you are, how immediately you're broken down in tears of joy to see each other. So it was with Joseph. He sought a place to weep. He dared not weep before his brethren for fear that he would give himself out. He refrained himself and went into his room, into his chamber, and there he wept. He wept for joy that Benjamin, his brother, was in good health and that he seen him before him. He washed his face and he came out before them. And he said unto the steward, set on bread. And they set three tables. One table for Joseph, one table for the Egyptians that ate with him, and one table for Joseph's brethren. This was ordinarily the way that Joseph ate, because the Egyptians would not eat with the Hebrew. For the Hebrews were an abomination unto the Egyptians. For what reason? Because the Hebrews, they ate meat. They ate cow meat. Down in Egypt, even at that time, the people worshipped the cow as a god. Not only did they have an ox and a cow, but they worshipped cats and dogs and reptiles. These were also included in their worship. And because the Hebrews ate meat, it was an abomination to them to sit with them, and these Jewish people were an abomination unto them because they did eat this kind of meat, which they considered to be sacred and should not be eaten. Joseph then sat at one table by himself, and the Egyptians at a table, and these brethren of Joseph were sitting at a table. They sat according to their birthright, from the oldest to the youngest. Some say that they just sat there that way themselves, but I believe that Joseph placed them that way, because it said, and they marveled. They marveled themselves that they were sitting in such good order in the way it should be. And now we find that Joseph, he sent messes of food from his table to them. But he sent five messes of food unto Benjamin. He did this for a purpose, to see whether these other brethren would be envious of Benjamin, as they had been envious of him because his father had given him a coat of many colors. but he saw no enviousness in them. He gave then Benjamin 5 times more than the other brethren. Not that he should eat 5 times as much, because this wouldn't have been right either. But this was just for a trial, to see how these other brethren would be affected towards Benjamin. And they sat down with their brethren and with him, and they drank and were merry together. How wonderful this was. They in this had a meal probably like they hadn't had for months. There was a famine in the land, and when you just get enough to eat, that was sufficient. But here, they were given a feast, an abundance, something they probably hadn't had for a long time. And they drank, and they were merry with him. Why? They considered that they now had found favor in his sight, that they were on the good side of this Lord, and therefore they were glad. All their fears and all their thoughts of evil departed, and they found joy and happiness in sitting and eating in his house. As Joseph dealt with his brethren, so does Jesus deal with those whom he loves. As Joseph, he dealt very remarkably with these brethren. He gave them likewise to come into his house. They were filled with fear concerning what he would do to them. And many a child of God comes up to the house of the Lord, filled with fear, filled with anxiety, whether the word will be for them or against them. They know not whether the work is of God or not. They are concerned whether they will find favor in his sight or whether they will be turned down and cast away. Of Joseph, he gave these brethren of his water to drink and water to wash themselves with and food for their animals. So God, in his infinite love, gives unto his dear children of the water of life so that they may drink freely. Their thirst is quenched in his house, and they may enjoy something of that heavenly manna for which he himself, by means of his stewards, deals out. These brethren were invited to sit down and to eat with Joseph. There was a separation made. The Egyptians did not eat with the Hebrews. Way back in the land of Egypt already, God made a separation. When the Lord, in his infinite mercy, gives us that we may hold the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and come down and sit at his table, there is a separation made. Only true Israelites are invited to come. The others may not sit down at this table. These brethren, they were given messes of food by Joseph. So the Lord Jesus deals out messes of food to his dear people in his house of worship. They, like Benjamin, are given sometimes more than another. The Lord is sovereign in dealing with his people. Some of them he dandles on his knees. Some of them they enjoy much of his presence, of his nearness, of his love, of his favor. Others, they are not so richly blessed in this respect as Benjamin was by Joseph. The Lord has his Benjamins too. Wouldn't you like to be one? Who would not? And now these brethren sitting together, they were filled with joy. They drank and they were merry with him. Have you ever experienced something like this, some of you dear children of God? Have you ever come into the house of God or come to his table and you've been given the drink and you've been given to be merry with him? Or he has said probably inside, eat and drink, beloved, for the way might be too much for thee. He has said, come and eat and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And you have been given the fatness of his house. You have been given to enjoy his presence, his love, his smiles, his kisses, his embraces, that you have forgot yourself. You actually didn't know where you were at the present time that he was dealing with you in this way. How sweet it was. Oh, you were so filled with heavenly wine and so filled with joy that he had a favor towards you that he showed him. Just as Joseph's brethren were so overjoyed because they believed that they were on the right side of Joseph now. So, a child of God, when it is given them those blessed assurances that they are one of his children, oh, how happy they are. Far happier than they ever were with any natural substance that they may have been granted by the providence of God. These brethren, then, they were filled with joy in this house. And now we read that Joseph commanded his steward to fill their sacks with corn, to put their money back in their sacks, and he commanded him to take his silver cup, one that he was fond of, one that he drank out of continually, one that was probably on the table with them at that present time, and told him to put it into the sack of the youngest son, the youngest brother. The steward did as he was commanded by Joseph. And Joseph filled their sacks with corn, overflowing, as much as they could get in. And so the Lord Jesus Christ deals with his dear people, and he fills their hearts with his love and with his goodness, and they likewise have food for the way that they are to travel on. And now we find that Joseph, he spake to this steward and said, that he should go up after them, and that he should speak unto them and say unto them, is this the way that you treat the man that you have been eating with? Do you render evil for good? Do you not know that this cup that you have probably stolen is one that he divineth with? Up, go after them. So this steward, he ran after Joseph's brethren. He overtook them. And they seen him coming, of course, and they stopped. And he spake unto them the words that Joseph had commanded him. They were accused then of stealing a silver cup. These brethren, they said, how can our Lord speak in this way? where we came back even with the money that we found in our sacks at the first, and should we then steal silver and gold out of our Lord's house? We haven't stolen it. If you find this silver cup in any one of the sacks of us, then the one you find it in, he shall die. And we shall be bondmen to your Lord. The steward said, be it as you have said. Only the one in whose sack I find the cup, he shall be a servant unto my Lord, and ye shall be blameless. And they all immediately took down their sacks off their asses, and they began to open them. They were so sure that that silver cup would not be found in any one of them. And I am almost certain that Benjamin was certainly sure, too, that it wouldn't be found in his. They began to search from the eldest to the youngest. And when they came to the youngest, there they found the silver cup. It was in Benjamin's sack. We don't read that they found the money that Joseph had put in their sacks. Nothing is said about the money. Still, he had commanded that the money be put in, and likewise this silver cup. It's very odd that these brethren did not stop and say to the steward, well, whoever put the money in these sacks must have put the silver cup in too. But there was no argument. They didn't speak back to this steward at all. When they found the cup in Benjamin's sack, that was it. We find that they closed their sacks up and they started back to the city. They were under the impression that God was visiting them now for their past sin that they had done unto Joseph. They spake probably to each other as they were walking along and saying, we are murderers. This is the vengeance of God. It's come down upon us now. They didn't argue. They didn't question the matter about this cup being found there. They were under such an impression of their guilt, of what they had done so many years back. 20 years had gone by, and now suddenly this was brought home to them. Oh, my hearers, this teaches us that irrespective of how long ago we may have done some sin, God will certainly bring it up to our remembrance. He will open our conscience, and it will fly in our face. So it went with these brethren. So it goes with God's dear children. It is sometimes remarkable how God deals with them. They may have been at a banquet, as these brethren were. They may have been filled with joy and had much of God's assurance in their heart of his favor and of his love towards them. And on the top of that, there comes a deep trial. This is what took place with these brethren. This is what takes place many times in the life of God's dear people. So that God, likewise, in his infinite love, may more and more disclose unto them his love and his favor. And these brethren were talking with each other on the way back to the city. And when they got back to the house of Joseph, for he was still there, and we find that they fell down at his feet, and they said unto him, God hath discovered the iniquity of thy servants. But we will be servants unto our Lord. So they fell then down at his feet, and they submitted unto him that they would be his servants. Joseph again was given to see the fulfilling of his dreams. 20 years back, when he had told them his dreams, they said to him, "What? You're going to reign over us? You're going to have dominion over us?" Then when he came to meet them, they said with each other, "Let's kill him. Let's put him in a pit. See what will become of his dreams." His dreams are being fulfilled. His brethren are lying at his feet. "We will be thy servants." How this must have affected Joseph, thinking of his dreams. My hearers, have you ever been given by the grace of God to come to Jesus Christ as these brethren did to Joseph? Has God ever discovered unto you your iniquity? All of he has, I'm sure. You've been brought to the place where these brethren were brought. They fell down at his feet. They were as much as saying, "Here we are. We're clay. You can do with us as you want. We deserve everything that you bring upon us." Has God brought you there, my heroes? In your guilt, in your distress, and in all your fears, you fell down. "Here I am, Lord. You are the potter. I am the clay. I am a guilty sinner, and I deserve everything that you would bring upon me." What a mercy, my hearers, to be brought to the feet of Jesus as these brethren came to the feet of Joseph. They then disclosed in this respect that they were the ones that had been murderers of their brother, and that they were guilty. They didn't say anything about the money that was in the sacks or about even this drinking cup that was found in Benjamin's sack. No. They were brought back to what they had done against their own brother Joseph. And for this reason, they thought God brought them in guilty before this man who was the ruler of the land. And now we find that Joseph, he answered them and said unto them, that not so. They were not all to be his servants, but only the one in whose sack this vessel had been found. For this was a special cup whereby he divined. Some think that this word divine meant that he used it in some sort of worship. Others say that the translation of this word is incorrect in the Bible, that it means searcheth, examineth, that it meant that he as much had to search and examine every place first, and he could not find the cup, and therefore they were accused of stealing it. And now Joseph, he demanded that Benjamin be the servant and the rest go free. But we find that Judah, one of the brethren, he becomes the spokesman for the rest of the brothers. And he speaks unto Joseph and says unto him, let not thine anger burn upon thy servant, for thou art as Pharaoh is. Let thine ear be open to what I have to say.
so he approaches. Just, have you ever approached God in this way, my hero? Let not thine anger burn. I deserve thine anger. I deserve thine anger. But all let thy ears open to what I am going to say. All my hearers, what a mercy of you to come in that place and plead, O God. Just as Judah began to speak unto Joseph, and he begins to disclose unto Joseph that it was Joseph's fault that his brother Benjamin was down here in Egypt. He speaks to him in this manner. You requested when we were here at first concerning our father and concerning our younger brother that we should bring him back with us, or otherwise we would not see thy face anymore. He points out to him that it was his fault that he had brought Benjamin down. He didn't say anything about stealing the cup. He's working upon the pity, upon the compassion of Joseph. And he says, when we went back home and we told our father concerning what you had requested, then our father said that he would not let his son go, because he had had two sons by his wife, and the oldest had probably been torn by a beast, and he had not seen him anymore. And if he let this youngest one go down, and he experienced mischief, then we would bring his gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. And now it became so that the famine was so bad that we requested our father that he should let us go down to Egypt and carry Benjamin with us. And now our father finally relented and let us bring him down. And now, if I go back with my brothers without Benjamin, then surely my father will die of grief. He has such a concern about his father that he will die because if Benjamin was not there. I wonder how many children have such a concern for their parents, or whether they will grieve them or not, whether they will hurt them or not. What a blessing if we consider this in life, that we would not like to bring grief and sorrow upon our parents' hearts for certain things. Judah was pleading before Joseph, who loved his own father and who likewise loved Benjamin even more than Judah did, because it was his own brother. And he spake unto him in this wise, that he had become surety for his brother. He had said to his father that if I bring him not back, I will bear the blame forever. Therefore, let me become a servant unto thee, and let Benjamin go back with his brethren. This appeal of Judah is a wonderful appeal when you read that chapter, my hearers. He's pleading upon the pity, upon the compassion, upon the mercy of Joseph, that he would let Benjamin go back. In this Joseph sees the true love that Judah had for his brother. And therefore, we find that Joseph, he could not contain himself either any longer. After Judah speaking in such a wonderful way to him about his father and about this lad, Benjamin, for he says, the life of my father is wrapped up in his life, and if he should not come back, well, then he will certainly die. But this appeal struck the heart Joseph, my givers. And Judah in this is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Judah would be an intercessor, and he was also a surety for Benjamin. So likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ is a glorious intercessor for poor sinners at the right hand of God, who is ever pleading there, and who likewise became surety for those that God had given unto him in eternity. He took them upon himself. He would bear their blame. And if he did not restore them unto his Father, he became surety for them. The Judah here is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. My time is gone. I've tried to give you a little instruction out of this precious chapter. The Lord willing, we'll pick up the final part of it next week, where we will conclude with Joseph revealing himself unto his brethren. That's all for today.